come out on the baseball field, stand on first base. When you hear the whistle, as loud as you can, say, I don't believe in the ghost train.
So then I'm sitting there like, oh, there's only 2 weeks left, and I'm going to get fired. I tell my mom I got fired.
I'm really bad with children. Really bad with children. Like, you would probably not want me to watch your children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Hankin.
And I'm Laura Wexler. And
this week on the podcast, Crazy Camp Counselors. That's right. It's June, and we have camp stories for you. Three tales from people who definitely should not be in charge of campers.
Before we get started, we want to thank the Park School of Baltimore, a longtime sponsor of the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. They're an independent K-12 non-sectarian school in Baltimore. These stories are going to make me sad because my kids' overnight camp just got canceled, just like everybody else's. And the other day I was walking in the woods and it smelled like camp, which is, I went to the same camp my kids went to, and I just about almost cried. You know, the whole camp people. You're not a camp person.
I'm not.
It's like some weed or foliage, not weed, marijuana, but like some kind of foliage plus heat plus like
mold plus mold,
sand and dirt. No, this is the outside smell, not the inside.
Still.
No. Anyway. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm not a camp person. I couldn't hang. So yeah, these stories were all actually from, I'm trying to think of what year that was. It was a few years back. It was at the Gordon Center, and they're camp stories. And the first one is from a gentleman by the name of Tom Jubb. And this story is about a local camp and his, you know, being way too young to be in charge. And yet there he was in charge. So take a listen.
I was born and raised in Hollandtown in Baltimore. At 8 years old, my parents scraped together the money to send my younger brother and I to the camp in Moncton. It's Camp Hutak. It's run by the Salvation Army, which we realized it was the Starvation Army because they really didn't have much money. Being a large kid, it didn't take me long. I started off as a camper, and then at 10, I became a kitchen boy, which is 2 years ahead of the curve. At 11, I become an assistant counselor, and at 12, a counselor. Well, you can see now I'm a big guy. The Camp Hutak is in Moncton, Maryland, and it's in northern Baltimore County. It's all nice hills and all that kind of stuff, and the kids are basically poor from the surrounding area and basically middle of Baltimore. The two valleys over is a quarry, and each night at 10 o'clock is their last train pulling out. They cut granite and limestone, and as they pulled out, they hit their whistle, and you could hear it echo through the hills. Well, of course, all the kids are just getting ready to go to bed, and what's that? That's the ghost train. And it, oh, no, man, no such thing as ghosts. No, we can't do ghosts. That. Okay, tomorrow night, come out on the baseball field, stand on first base. When you hear the whistle, as loud as you can, say, I don't believe in the ghost train. Well, we had four of them. The whistle goes off, it echoes through the hills. And you hear, I don't believe in the ghost train, louder. I don't believe in the ghost train. We have one of the counselors come out of the bushes wearing a sheet with a flashlight under it. And the kids take off. The next morning, we had a scavenger hunt for the shoes that they actually ran out of.
When you are from Highland Town and you go to Camp Potok, didn't you send your kids to Camp Potok?
No, okay. It wasn't far away enough. I needed them to go farther. Yes, but
and
tons
you become
of
a counselor
do.
At age 12 years old. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you're supposed to be like a CIT counselor in training, then a junior counselor, then, you know, there's a hierarchy. There's a process here.
Yeah. I don't think they had that back in the day. Back in Tom Jones' day, it was just all or nothing. No scaffolding.
Yes. So before we get on to the next story, we want to thank Baltimore Magazine. You can find them at baltimoremagazine.com or on the newsstand. Check them out for all the news around town.
Okay. So this next storyteller, Rachel Lipton, is going to share her story of also being in charge of young children. Take a listen.
I worked at a day camp when I was 17. I was a counselor. And one day the kids were somewhere else and one of the ones didn't want to do the activity. So she was like, can you take me to archery? So I spoke to the group leader and we went to archery. And the archery specialist, one of my friends, had a crush on. So I was like talking to him, trying to feel him out, how he felt about her. And archery was kind of near the pool. So I was also paying a lot of attention to everyone that was half naked at the pool. So then I'm not really sure what happened. Someone came that wasn't supposed to be at archery, pulled back the bow and arrow. Me and the guy in charge were definitely not paying attention, and my camper got shot in the face with with the bow. So she starts crying. She starts bleeding. I don't like blood. Similarly, Tesh doesn't like vomit. I really hate blood. So she's, like, screaming and crying because she's bleeding out of the face. So the guy who shot her went to get help. And this girl's mom happened to work at camp. So then I'm sitting there like, oh, there's only 2 weeks left and I'm going to get fired. I have to tell my mom I got fired. So the next day I go into camp and I'm like definitely prepared to get fired. And the mom comes up to me and she's like, Rachel, I am so thankful you were there yesterday when Molly got shot in the face. And I just kind of like looked at her and was like, yep. And that's my story.
Oh. So yeah, under Rachel's watch, a child gets hit by an archery bow.
It builds character.
It does for both Rachel and the child.
Okay. And before we get on to the final story for today, we want to thank Golden West, a great sponsor of the Soup Storytelling Series podcast. You can find them on the Avenue in Hamden. They have great vegan Southwestern food, and they are having a carryout window and all sorts of COVID appropriate processes in place to get their delicious food.
All right. So this last storyteller of this episode, Nellie Sorensen, has a story about being a camp counselor for kind of an unusual camp and also hating a lot of aspects of children, including vomit. Take a listen.
So I don't have any good stories about being at camp, but I do have a good story of being a camp counselor. And I want to explain two things before I get started. One, I hate vomit. I hate vomit. Like, if you were to see something coming at you really fast that was going to kill you, and you were going to run away really fast, try and fight, or probably just collapse on the ground, I would either run the fuck away from there or collapse on the ground. Two, I'm really bad with children. Really bad with children. Like, you would probably not want me to watch your children. But this was my job. I was working as a carpenter's assistant, and he decided that it would be a good idea to open up what was a museum for sort of old toys and historic train sets to the public. And so we had a summer camp, and my job was to make sure that nobody broke any bones or threw sharp objects at each other and just make sure that everybody knew what the next step was. So I had one table of probably about 12 or 15 kids that I was in charge of. And by the end of the summer, I had managed to know like two of their names. And that was an accomplishment for me. So we have this project. I don't remember exactly what we were building, like, I don't know, model train or something like that. Wood blocks, glue them together. Yeah, cool, whatever. And this one girl one of the ones I don't remember, was leaning over and looking like real bummed. And I was like, oh God, okay, children. Yeah, what do you do? I don't know, they're sad. Talk to them, maybe? Oh, my worst nightmare. I thought all I had to do was like make faces and say, yeah, you're doing it. So I go over and I'm like, oh, you girl. What's going on? You want to go to the office or like you missing your parents or something? She's like, I was like, oh man, that's not a normal face to be making. I was like, all right, well, like, why don't we take you to the office? Or like, do you have to go to the bathroom? You know, sometimes kids, when they have to like poop, they act weird. I don't know. So, you know, she's like, okay, all right, okay. I'm like, oh, great. I'm doing something right. Great, let's go to the office. I'll like take you up there, be a leader, you know, like adult, great. And so I go to take her hand, and as she turns to the side, I'll mimic it over here too so you can see. I just get the motion. And I know, because I hate vomit, I know exactly what's going to happen. I can see it in her eyes and in the beads of sweat that are like gleaming down her face. And, you know, okay, so in this moment in my head, I'm like thinking 500 things. One, fuck, I'm an adult. I have to deal with this. Shit, kids, why am I working here? This is the worst job. You know, like every thought that isn't helpful at the moment that you're supposed to be like, you know, moment of being a champion of, I don't know, adversary, whatever. I have no idea. And then I'm like, oh, what did my mom do? Okay, bathroom. Great, bathroom is right behind me. Let's do this. So, you know, like you get the motion of like, bleh. But it's not just like, bleh. It's like, bleh, like just all over the place. Mind you, I actually had the time to look around at the other kids at the table, and they're like, working on my project, coloring this thing. I love it. And I think I'm the only one who's standing here in terror, knowing exactly what my emotions are, because at that moment, I guarantee you, I was probably paler than that girl who had just like vomited all over the floor and my shoes. I hate vomit, but I hate vomit on me even more. Like, if you were to vomit right there, I would run out that door. Like, that's, I'm not even joking. But, you know, because I have, like, at that point in time, the faculties of a somewhat responsible 16-year-old, I was like, oh, man, really, you gotta, like, not give in to this urge to just, like, jet and faint at the same time, because that's what was going through my head. So, all right, we're at the point in the story, vomit's on the floor and my shoes. She's, like, still getting ready to do things. So I leave the vomit on the floor, and I get behind her, and I'm like, okay, pushing you will help you to get to the bathroom faster. Let's go. You can just walk and vomit at the same time. You know, like, and then since then, I've seen other parents and adults around children. I'm like, oh, you go under the arms and you carry. That's the proper way. You, like, or you offer your shirt or your hands or something. You know, like, if someone has a purse, I don't carry a purse, but, like, you know, things for the future. Okay, great. If I ever had kids, don't really like children, but maybe. Hey, who knows? That's, like, what I should do. So I don't do that. And I just, like, continuously push her to the bathroom. And I get in there, and there's another adult in there. And I'm like, God damn it. If I'm going to look any less responsible, it's going to be in front of this lady because she's giving me the stink eye. Because this poor girl who, at this point, why did I even bring her to the bathroom? Because it's all out on the floor and my shoes. So I just get her over the toilet and, you know, patting her back makes me feel like I've done something, which is, you know, that makes me feel great. Anyways, I finally get her up to the office, but I'm so far gone in my head that I forget that I have vomit on my shoes and I forget that there's vomit downstairs that I have to deal with. But it's lunchtime, so I get all the kids out to lunch And like 10 minutes later, as we're outside, and I'm like sitting down, like, oh my God, that didn't happen, right? I don't even know that girl. She's not at my table. I have no idea. Recollection of her gone. My boss comes out, and he has one eye. So that one eye is staring at me real hard, like, you have something to resolve right now. So I had to go in there and clean it up. And for the rest of the day, I still forgot that I had vomit on my shoes. So by the end of the day, I'm stinking real bad. And this is like some happy story, right? Like, oh, that made me get over my phobia of vomit. It did not. I still have a really bad phobia of vomit. Thank you.
So that's our final Crazy Camp Counselor story for this episode. And we need to have more camp next summer so we can get more of these stories.
We definitely will.
Seriously, this is the first time in 80 years that the YMCA camp that my kids go to was not having camp.
That's a long time.
It's a long ass time. I think they really, really tried. But, you know, it's just,
it's COVID.
Especially when you're going to have people like Tom, Rachel, and Nellie in charge. You just can't trust those people with, Anyway, before we get out of here, we want to thank The Wine Source on Elm Avenue in Hamden for being a great sponsor. You can check them out for all your wine and snack needs. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for producing the podcast. And we want to tell you all, if you want more Soup Stories, you can visit us at soupstorytelling.com. We'll see you back here next week.
Stay safe. This should scare you, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy. They're about to organize a searching party.